Rakuten helps you be a smarter shopper and save money on just about everything you buy. We all have things we need to buy, whether it's home essentials or a self-care treat just for you. With Rakuten, you get cash back on clothes, groceries, travel, and much, much more. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other deals like store sales and credit card points. In case you're wondering, the stores on Rakuten are the ones you know and love, and lots of cool ones waiting to be discovered like Overstock, Chewy, Dyson, Ulta Beauty, H&M, Asics, Moose Jaw. I could go on and on, so many more. When it comes to savvy shopping and saving money, Rakuten is a no-brainer. It's free and easy to join. Just go to Rakuten.com now or download the Rakuten app today. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.
Live from the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227, or you can get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network going to stop by 20 minutes from now. And then Ike Reese, the former Philadelphia Eagles, going to join us at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific, to do a little first and goal previewing the EAGLES Eagles. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Kiki.
Hot Take Kiki.
I got to start just with the frauds that are the NCAA. And the NCAA, it's amazing to me the battles that they actually select to fight compared to a lot of other things that they elect to put on universities or just flat out ignore. So Jim Harbaugh and the NCAA, I guess, are closing in on an agreement of a suspension where Jim Harbaugh is going to get a punitive action handed down of a 4-game suspension. And you say, okay, what did Jim Harbaugh actually do? They were all minor infractions. Where I was reading the Ross Dellinger article where he met with two recruits during a COVID dead period, texted a recruit outside of an allowable time period. He had analysts perform on-field coaching duties during practice and had coaches watch players work out via Zoom. I think when you read that, you say, all those things are minor. All those things are insignificant. I get it. Rules are rules. There have to be punishments when rules do happen. But if you follow the way that the NCAA elects to hand down punishments, this is pretty severe when you just hear that it's 4 games. And the first 4 games of the season, like a lot of these big programs, they're scheduled against a lot of cupcakes. So it's not going to impact Michigan that Harbaugh reportedly won't be there for East Carolina and UNLV and Bowling Green, and your toughest opponent is Rutgers. So it won't impact a team that has national championship expectations in Michigan on the field because it's only 4 games. But let's not cover up the conversation with that, that the NCAA, which will agree with Harbaugh on a suspension of 4 games, the fact that it got to this point, it is so flat out ridiculous. And it has nothing to do with the actual infractions, because the actual infractions in the large scheme of things are so trivial and are so irrelevant, even though there are rules in place. But the NCAA wants to go after Jim Harbaugh because he reportedly lied to them when they were questioning him in the investigation. And the message the NCAA is sending here is that the actual crime isn't what we're suspending you for. It's for the dishonesty afterwards. And let me remind you, there was a report out in early January that one of the allegations here is that he brought two recruits to a burger joint and brought them a hamburger. Now, in the era of NIL, if we're going to punish coaches, if that story is true, for buying players hamburgers, recruits, high school kids, two high school kids reportedly, hamburgers, what the heck are we doing here? But this is the NCAA where, once again, Jim Harbaugh, we're not slapping you on the wrist. We're not giving you four games. We're not punishing you for the infractions, which all these things sound so stupid when you look at it. Like, why are these rules even in place? Some of these dumb, insignificant rules to begin with. But it's more so you weren't honest with us. You didn't remember, or you claimed to not remember, the burger incident. And that's why we're going to give you a four-game suspension. And that's what I have a big problem with. I have a big problem that this is even a conversation to begin with. But you're punishing the guy more so for what you deem as lying to you, but not what he actually did. It'd almost be as if, right, I went to the supermarket, let's just say. And let's say I stole some orange juice. Like, I'm not advocating stealing things, obviously. But if you steal one glass of orange juice, you shouldn't get a big-time punishment, right? You shouldn't go to jail for that long. We're talking about here four games. It's a college football season. Even though those games are all against cupcakes, that's a decent chunk of the schedule. And then let's just say I got punished because I lied to authorities about stealing the one glass of orange juice, and they wanted to drop the hammer on me more so for lying than actually the orange juice. Because you steal one glass of orange juice, not good to steal. But I think most people kind of like roll your eyes. We're really going to go after someone over one glass of orange juice? But if it's, oh, I'm really going to go after you because you lied to it, that's when it gets petty. That's when it gets dumb. And it's so NCAA. Because the NCAA continues to show you they are willing to sweep a lot of things under the rug and let you off the hook very easily. But if you do something that the NCAA doesn't like, and it may not actually be the infraction, it's just how you handle the infraction, then they're willing to basically force you to agree to, I don't want to say a suspension that's severe, because once again, these games are cupcakes, but there's only so many games on a college football schedule, and I'd rather have the coach for four games than not have him. So that's where I'm at on this. I think this is dumb. I think this entire conversation is a waste of time. And this is once again the NCAA, which doesn't matter who's running it year in and year out. They're the biggest frauds there are in the sports world. They're the biggest dopes they are. There's so many times that they don't elect to punish, but we're really going to make Harbaugh miss four games over potentially buying a recruit burgers or texting recruits outside an allowable time period, or having an analyst perform on-field coaching duties, or having the coach watch a player work out via Zoom. If you want to tell me one game for all this stuff, all right, I'll kind of roll my eyes. If you want to tell me that it's one game for this and then one game for lying, I'll still roll my eyes, but fine. But four games here? This is absolutely ridiculous. And I wonder this too. If, let's just say, if those four games weren't all cupcakes, and I know they could say, oh, one's a Big Ten game. Come on, Michigan Rutgers, no disrespect to Greg Schiano, it's not going to be close. But let's just say Alabama decided to schedule Michigan in week three. Is Jim Harbaugh getting a four-game suspension? Probably not. He would probably only get two games. So this is the NCAA trying to send a message, trying to make a point because they're annoyed at Jim Harbaugh. And then also, I do believe that the schedule has something to do with it, where if there was a big-time game in week three, or even in week two, he's only getting a one or two game suspension. So you could have Jim Harbaugh on that sideline for that big game. So we'll see what happens here with Michigan and when all this stuff does become official. But right now the thought is that the NCAA and Michigan, they're going to come to this agreement that Jim Harbaugh is going to be on this, you know, not on the sideline. He's going to be away from the team for the first four games of the season, with this lovely schedule once again against ECU, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers. And then he'll make his triumphant return going to Nebraska to go into play up against the Cornhuskers. Hickey, you're Mr. College Football. I know you can't stand Michigan. I know you can't stand Jim Harbaugh. But usually someone that's fair, and I know if you think I can't stand the NCAA right now, I don't think there's anyone in this building that consistently, on the air, off the air, talks more negatively about the NCAA than Hot Take Hickey. Give me your thoughts on this entire situation, my friend.
You're right. There's no worse group in this country than the NCAA, without a doubt. Pathetic, rudderless. There's a lot of words I can use.
Can you just tell me one more time the bagel story? This is always my favorite Hickey lecture. You could be like the grandfather that tells the same story each and every year to his grandkids, but I always enjoy the bagel story that you tell me about the NCAA.
Thankfully, these rules are no longer presently in force, but it used to be a rule back in the good old days of the NCAA, the heyday, if you will, that teams were not allowed to give players meals at all.
Yeah.
So, before a game, you want a little bagel, no problem. Need a pregame fuel, of course. But, you put bagel on that butter. Cream cheese. I know you're a Lox fan. I'm not, but if your heart desires Lox and you want Lox in that bagel.
I'm actually not a Lox fan. That's some fake news.
Who, really?
Yeah.
You've talked about Lox on bagels.
So, the last year and a half, I've started to dislike Lox.
What?
Yeah, I moved away from Lox.
What do you mean you like?
I used to enjoy bagel and Lox. I've had many gatherings with my families where we've done breakfast, and I've passed on the Lox several times now. My family's noticed this. Not a big Lox guy anymore.
Huh? I did not. Interesting.
Think it's a little overrated.
Taste buds do change, and that's maybe what's happening here. Interesting. So, okay, take it back. Maybe you're not going to have Lox. I'm certainly not having Lox, but there are people out there that enjoy fish on a bagel in the morning. Call me crazy. Well, I'll call them crazy. But either way, you enjoy it. That's what you want before a big game. Go for it. Not in the NCAA's mind, though. No siree. Regular bagel, nothing on it, no problem. As soon as you put any sort of condiment or topping, that is when, boom, they come down, slap the wrist, and you are lucky if you don't have 20 wins taken away or vacated from your team's seasons in previous years, because that is a violation. Now, again, thankfully,
we've gone away from
sense.
That.
Has prevailed, and now there's really no rules when it comes to food. And you can give your kids as much food as you want, which is how it should be. But again, just a highlight, a small example of the stupidity and the nonsense that the NCAA stands for. So you know me, I hate the NCAA, not the big Michigan fan. I would agree in the sense that the rules that Jim Harbaugh broke themselves are stupid. No one cares. I don't think they have a big impact on recruiting or team success. It's a lot of paperwork BS that they just, I think, at times have an excuse to justify the job they have and justify the paycheck they get. With that said, and if you're Jim Harbaugh, you're an idiot, man. Just admit to what you did. This is not that big of a deal. The NCAA itself said it's not that big of a deal. These are level 2 violations. We're talking about Zoom and whatever, making one phone call during our dead period. It's not that big of a deal. Lying, though, lying is the one thing they actually care about, because it's the one thing they can really get you on and kind of flex their muscles. He did the one thing that you really can't do. He lied about it. And I have no sympathy for Jim Harbaugh. I think this is on him for trying to cover up what is petty and stupid crimes to begin with. And this would have been probably a 0-game suspension if he came out and said, yeah, I did those things.
So now we're going to suspend him 4 games just because he lied.
Yes, because that is a bigger violation in the NCAA's mind than what he did. And if you don't realize that, that's on you. You're the idiot.
Now, I'm going to assume this is not the first time Jim Harbaugh got a recruit a burger. Like, let's just use that example for one of the things that are out there. I'm sure the NCAA went to him and said, do you remember on this date when you bought this recruit a burger? You think he remembers every time he brought a recruit a burger? So what are you supposed to say? Like, that sounds right? I doubt he remembers the exact incident vividly. That would just be my guess. Maybe I'm wrong. I know football coaches, they know everything, right? And they're so detail-oriented. Is it more so lying, or he just didn't remember that exact incident? And that's where I wonder how much of a gray area there is.
College football coaches are basically glorified control freaks. They have say over everything. They approve everything. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jim Harbaugh, quote-unquote, couldn't remember, or whatever term he wants to use to not lie, but lie about what happened. I think he has an idea of what he's doing.
Do you agree with me that if they had Alabama week 3, that this would only be a 2-game suspension?
No.
Oh, there is no way they would pass up on a chance to have Saban up against Harbaugh. Or if it was Georgia, Kirby Smart up against Harbaugh. No shot.
I don't think they care.
They do. All these suspensions, anyway. Whenever these suspensions happen, you always, and that's why I'm annoyed by this, but I don't want to freak out, is because the games that the coaches miss end up being the most irrelevant games. I think that plays a role in this. So you're telling me, if Harbaugh was just honest, you think he would have got no games here, and this would just be a fine and, like,
yes.
Some sanctions to the program, minor sanctions.
Bare minimum one game, or I think I should say at most, maximum, maybe one game.
So just because you lie, you think it's justified to have four games. You want to tell me one game for the lie? Fine. But four games? That's ridiculous.
He's lucky it's four.
A lucky?
They call level one violation. That's a six-game suspension. The NCAA is pathetic.
Oh, yeah. And the NCAA never follows their own rules. They lie about everything, the NCAA.
A punishment that they are trying to levy, and they're now, we usually give six, but actually, if you just say
the biggest hypocrisy
sort of,
then. Because the NCAA lies about everything. And then when a coach lies, we got to throw a four-game suspension at him. Well, you know what? Now I am annoyed. You got me annoyed now. What a joke the NCAA is. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let Jim Harbaugh, poor Jim Harbaugh, eat some burgers and buy some burgers for some recruits. Free Jim. The NCAA should suspend him for zero games. And they're a bunch of phonies, hypocrites, frauds. Bleep the NCAA. F the NCAA. Horrible, horrible, horrible hypocrites. 16 past the hour. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Howard Griffith will join us on the other side. We'll preview the Big Ten with media days upon us and also discuss this ridiculous, and I mean ridiculous, situation and just this horrible situation what the NCAA is doing to poor old Jim Harbaugh.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. We miss college football.
Bennett takes the snap and the shotgun, throws for the corner. Brock Bowers one-on-one. Caught! Touchdown! He ate him alive! Falls down into the end zone. Six more for Georgia.
We can't wait for the 2023 season.
Caleb Williams throws the fade in the corner. Oh, caught! Touchdown, Trojans!
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Big Ten Media Day is underway. Let's preview the Big Ten right now with a man that works at the Big Ten Network, played for Illinois as a two-time Super Bowl champion, and that, of course, is Howard Griffith, kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Howard, how are you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. It's a little muggy here in Indianapolis today, but other than that, I'm excited about Media Day getting started.
Yeah, I'm annoyed at the NCAA today because they're not going to punish Jim Harbaugh really for the infractions. It's because he lied about them, reportedly. It's a four-game suspension against a bunch of cupcake teams, so I probably shouldn't be freaking out. But the NCAA just annoys me, Howard.
Listen, I think they annoy a lot of people. You think about over the years, whether you're a team or a fan of a team that's been sanctioned by the NCAA or you're just a fan of college football and you kind of watch the NCAA not really have a lot of teeth in a lot of things that are going on in the college football environment or really athletic environment as far as college athletics is concerned. So there's a lot of room to be upset with the NCAA. This probably is just another one if people don't like them to begin with.
And we're talking supposedly about Harbaugh and one of the allegations buying some recruits some burgers. Like, that's what we're doing here? It's stupid.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what all of the fuss and stuff is about, but, it's just one of those things, man. There are rules. They're put in place. Whether you like them or not, they are in place, and you have to be able to follow the rules. So it's one of those things. I even think back to this. I mean, when I was playing, if you had a bagel, you could give – players bagels, but you couldn't give them spreads to go on the bagel. So they had to have a dry bagel. You couldn't give them anything to go on it, such as butter or cream cheese. So that's just kind of where the NCAA has been a lot of our times when you think about college athletics.
We were just talking about that exact incident right before we brought you on. God forbid you give a kid an everything bagel, but then you put cream cheese on it. Throw the book at him.
Throw the book at him. It no longer can compete. They're ineligible.
But now they can get an NIL deal for the bagel shop.
There you go. So it's come full circle. Things work now.
We have made some progress. Howard Griffith here with us. So get into Michigan on the field this year. There's high expectations. We know what they've done the last 2 years. For a while, it was, could they even get to a Big Ten championship game and also defeat Ohio State? Now it's, can they go win it all? Where's your confidence level with this Michigan team pertaining to that question?
Yeah, I think it's pretty high when you think about Michigan. You know, they arguably have one of the best backfields when you consider the running backs that they have and also the quarterback coming back next year. Really talented backfield. You expect McCarthy to really be able to take that next step as a quarterback. I think he'll be able to do that. Last year, he was limited a little bit from play calling standpoint. They really didn't get him out and let him run a lot last year. They wanted to protect him. I wonder if this year they kind of opened things up the way they did in the championship game, because that kind of kept him around, had him in a good situation. So it's going to be interesting to watch his development. This is a team that really does a good job on the offensive line. They've really developed really well, and they can run the ball with the best of them. Blake Corum coming back. I really like where this team is right now.
Ohio State also fascinates me this year, because the last 2 years, mm-hmm. they just got absolutely destroyed by Michigan, but they kind mm-hmm. of saved face last year because they almost beat Georgia in the college football playoff. Yeah. I know Ryan Day only has 6 losses, but people are criticizing him because Urban never lost to Michigan. Mm-hmm. What do you think we're going to get from Ohio State this year when we get that eventual game coming up on Thanksgiving weekend?
You know, I think it's going to come down to quarterback play in that game for Ohio State. Listen, I thought one of the things that Coach Day should have gotten a lot of credit, you just mentioned it, you talk about them bouncing back and playing as well as they did against Georgia. Now, go back, remember, this is a team where really everything was done. Everything was over. They were out of it until to the last week, I believe, and he was able to regather the team, refocus them, and they went out and played as well as they did. I think one of the things that's happening in Columbus is that, you know, you watch Michigan really build a program inside out. We're not talking about the offense and defensive lines. They've really played at a high level, winning the Joe Moore Award for best offensive line in college football for the last 2 years in a row, and there's no reason they shouldn't be in the running once again. And I think Ohio State's learned something from that, that it really comes down to what you can do with the offense and defensive line. You can have as many talented players as possible that you can have out on the perimeter, but you still have to be able to control the line of scrimmage. You have a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., who is arguably, you know, a top 3-4 pick in next year's draft, probably the same. He could have been a top 5 pick in this year's draft. They've got to find creative ways to get him the football. So I look for him to do a lot of motioning, moving him around pre-snap to create some favorable matchups and getting him the ball out on the perimeter.
And then you wrap up the Big Ten in terms of teams that are going to be contenders. It's Penn State, and I'm a Temple graduate, so I never liked the Nittany Lions. But I got to give them credit, Howard Griffith, because if James Franklin can't win a few big games this year, then he'll never be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's really – and I'll say this. Going back, this is going to be our 17th year at the Big Ten Network, and this is probably going to be, from my perspective, and I'm looking forward to seeing Penn State, the best offensive line that they've had in the 17 years that I've been covering them. So I'm anxious to see them. You know, they've done a really good job recruiting their young players that played at a high level. And remember, you'll know this because Coach Franklin has done a great job recruiting in the past, but all those players haven't really panned out. And now you're seeing that talented running back group. You're seeing the quarterback position really starting to develop. They took some huge jumps on the defensive side, Manny Diaz coming back for his second year. So you expect those defensive players to really be able to understand the system even more. Some of the younger players that didn't get an opportunity to play, that's a team that's right there. So they've got an opportunity. It's going to be a fascinating race in the East. Unlike the West, where we really things are wide open, the East, you pretty much know who those three dominant teams are. And you know that Maryland is right there on the outside, because they have a quarterback that can do all the things you need a guy to do to keep you in a game.
Yeah, and Talia Tungavailoa to his brother. Howard Griffith here with us. You talk about that West. I know you could throw a dart on a board. Whoever lands on you have a chance to win that division. Who are you going with right now in the West?
Man, it's so hard right now because I need to see him. But I'd say this. As many moving parts as they have at Iowa, having McNamara coming over all, but they're also transferring from Michigan. They've got some other transfers that have shown up. I think they'll have some pieces to be able to move the ball much, much more effectively than they did last year, which wouldn't be hard to do because offensively they were challenged. But this is a team you know is going to play outstanding defense. If they can just get something out of their offense, they can get 21, 20, you know, 23 points out of this offense, I think they're going to be in a pretty good spot. It's interesting, though. A lot of people are just, you know, giving everything to the Badgers. They believe the first-year coach Luke Fickell is going to turn things around. And a lot of the papers that are coming out, I think it's the Cleveland Plain Dealer does a predictions every year with their writers. I think 39 writers, and the majority of them pick the Badgers. The Badgers to win the West. And that's interesting to me because I've seen them, and I don't know if they are that talented on that side of the ball just yet. I think they'll get there with Luke Fickell, but I think there's still a ways to go. Minnesota's there. Illinois is not going anywhere. I think the West is really tight, but this is going to be interesting. This is the last year of East-West divisions, and next year we go to one division, and then we add USC and UCLA. So if you're a West team and you want to get into that championship game, this year is going to be the best time for you to do it because things are going to change drastically the way we look at this league next year.
And I know they're not first-time head coaches, but whenever you have a new head coach come in, like with Luke Fickell with Wisconsin or Matt Rhule with Nebraska, hey, for every Sonny Dykes, that's a rarity. You have a lot more situations where first-year coaches get a little bit rough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, listen, I think you look at Nebraska, they've been underachieving for many years for whatever reason, whether it's the coaching situation, whether it's the players not being dialed in. But one of the things that's not questioned is the kind of job Matt Rhule can do for you. And what he's done is, you know, what he did at Temple, what he's done at Baylor, didn't have the success in Carolina that he would have hoped, was obviously fired there. That kind of changes the perspective of a lot of coaching. Having an opportunity to talk with him, you know, he has a new lease on life and I think a better appreciation for the college game and where he fits best. And by all accounts, he's doing a tremendous job. That's another roster that's full of guys that have taken advantage of the transfer portal. So another team that will be very interested to watch. But there are so many new quarterbacks, transfer quarterbacks in the West that the one that's able to really dial in and get familiar and accustomed to their team and also the system, I think is going to give them an opportunity to win.
And I like Brett Bielema at your alma mater, and I like the move that he made today. Jim Leonard will eventually be a head coach, but pretty good job getting him in as a senior football analyst today.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I was down a couple times this spring, and he happened to be down there and spending some time. So, you know, if he's going to, you know, I believe he's still being paid by the Badgers. And, you know, he played for Brett in his first year. Obviously, you know, there's no question the type of defensive mind that he has. And what he can do. And I think he's going to really help Aaron Henry prepare because I think Aaron Henry is going to be a really good defensive coordinator. This will be his first year calling plays, and having a guy like Jim Leonard with him during the week will also give him an opportunity to really settle into that position. I think it'll be really good for Henry.
Let me ask you before we let you run, Howard Griffith, two more with you about Mel Tucker. In year two, he was phenomenal and then has fallen off. Is there any optimism this year for Michigan State, or pretty much what you're reading and what you're hearing, they're going to be a pretty bad football team this year?
Yeah, you know, they've continued to recruit. They take advantage of the transfer portal. And one of the things that happens when you have the type of success they had a couple of years ago, that's what is expected. But you have to remember, when Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State are all maximizing their resources and are not getting in their own way, it's hard to win the East, to get there, right? So in most years, you can make the argument that are they four, are they five, where do you put Maryland in that mix? So it's a tough job. It's a really competitive job when those top three teams in the East are really doing the things that they need to be successful. That's why I say when they're maximizing their opportunities that are out there and resources, it's hard to jump into that top three, let alone to that number one spot.
And I know it's going to be talked about at Big Ten Media Days, and we've discussed it on this show. Just give me your reaction to everything that has transpired the last few weeks at Northwestern.
Well, obviously, it's unacceptable. The hazing that's been reported, the hazing that's come out in the investigation are things that cannot happen to students, let alone student athletes. I think as head coaches, it's your responsibility is to make sure that you are putting your student athletes in the best situation you can to make sure that you can take care of them. And that when they leave home and you look their parents in the eyes, you tell them you're going to take care of their child, you do just that. And unfortunately, it appears that didn't happen at Northwestern. One of the things I did like that happened today is that Northwestern decided not to bring their students to Media Day, and which is a good thing for me and really for them, because they didn't need to be put into a situation where they can't even say anything. Part of being at Media Day as a player is an opportunity to represent the program, because you have the leadership, because you're respected amongst your team and your coaches. And those young men would have been here answering questions about what adults allowed to happen in a program. And I thought that would have been very unfair, but coach, their head coach will be here and he'll have some tough questions, but it's one of those things. It doesn't look like this story is going anywhere anytime soon. And I hope that other programs throughout the country hear it as a call to make sure you start to look inside of your program and make sure that they're doing all the right things, because hazing and some, like I said, some of the things that the sexual assault stuff that was going on, allegedly going on in that locker room, was really unacceptable.
Well said. And also, with it now being a litigious situation, you know it's going to get uglier, and definitely more stuff will come out. He's Howard Griffith of the Big Ten Network. Howard, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate you doing this.
All right, anytime. Let's catch up during the season.
You got it. Absolutely. There he is, Howard Griffith, joining us for the Big Ten Network. We will take a break. We'll come on back. We'll chat a little bit about the running back market and why all the running backs can't be all that happy today with what happened with Saquon Barkley. We'll get to that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, how we doing? Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Hickey, during the show, enjoys to eat. Every night he has some different kind of pasta or deconstructed taco. That is usually the Hickey playbook from One Hot Take Hickey, either a deconstructed taco or some variation of pasta. Yours truly, I do not usually eat during the show. I'm not saying it never happens. You know, there may be one night a week where I'll get some Westville before the show starts. If they have some food brought into the studio, then I may pick at that during a break. Absolutely. But I would say 4 out of the 5 days out of the week during the show, I do not eat. Well, Hickey, we're going to break that today, because when we were talking about this Jim Harbaugh story, where one of the infractions were that during COVID, he bought two recruits, I think, a burger at the Brown Jug in Ann Arbor, and he brought them a hamburger. The NCAA was like, you can't do that, and do you remember this? And he was like, no. Once you start talking about burgers, Hickey, I get pretty hungry. And there's no way that I'm going to make it until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, without stuffing my fat face with a hamburger. Because if I get to 10 p.m. at night here on the East Coast, it's just too late to devour a hamburger in a sober state of mind. Like, if you're out in the town having fun, you could have a late night burger, maybe some halal. So I'm going to find a way to get a burger here into the studio, probably within an hour. I'll probably go right down the block and have someone go get me a burger from Westville. But it got me thinking. Since all these shows now on CBS Sports Radio, right, they do these food challenges, where for so many years, Marash has done all these food challenges where it's led to a promotion for him, and he's no longer working here at CBS Sports Radio. Maggie and Perloff, they do a different food competition each and every week. Perloff's devouring some wings, some spicy wings. He's eating a jar of peanut butter. Maggie is devouring an entire jar of jelly. So I kind of feel as if we need to be good company people here. And we got to fall in line with the formula that has been thrown out there and has success on many different shows, where I got to go try to do something and dip my toe in the waters of eating something and trying to eat something rather quickly. So let me ask you this. I'm looking at this menu right now, Westville, which is the joint right down the street. and it's an 8-ounce hamburger that they have. So if Jim Harbaugh and the NCAA does not want Jim Harbaugh eating a burger with recruits and buying them that burger, I'll eat a hamburger tonight for Jim Harbaugh. How quickly, though, and I probably won't enjoy this because I would like to enjoy each and every bite and slowly eat this. But if you had to set an over-under, if you had to be Vegas here, Hickey, how quickly do you think I could devour a 8-ounce hamburger with a bun?
Anything else on it? Lettuce, tomato, onion?
Probably we won't put any lettuce or tomato on it. Should I go cheese?
Oh, yeah, go cheese. Come on.
Okay.
It's nothing.
No,
that's just more taste than anything else.
I was going to watch my calories a little bit this week.
I mean, look, for eating an 8-ounce burger in a fast amount of time, one slice of cheese is not going to make or break. Let's be honest here. Your cheat meal, if you will.
I don't know about that.
So no fries, right? Just the burger itself.
Just the burger.
If I said it at 90 seconds.
90 seconds?
Minute and a half of 8 ounces. Can you get 8 ounces of meat down your throat in 90 seconds?
I don't know. But if you're going to throw a number out there, I will trust it. Now, they serve this on like an English muffin as well.
That probably works better.
Yeah, probably less bread.
Less bread. It's not
less fluffy.
Puffy brioche bun that basically engulfs the burger anyway, which is just, I mean, empty calories there, which will really slow you down.
90 seconds.
I mean, this has got to be challenging, right? Like, this is going to be like a...
Okay.
I'm envisioning... Like, I guess maybe I'll ask you this. What competition are you envisioning? I'm envisioning a little bit more like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest than I am... You're just casually eating a cheeseburger on the air for 15 minutes.
So, yeah, no, 15 minutes, that's ridiculous. Yeah, we got to do this quickly.
Okay.
Now, I wouldn't say I'm Joey Chestnut. I would not say, who's the other competitive eater? Kobayashi? Right?
Kobayashi, yes, formerly.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
He fell off. Well, apparently Joey Chestnut's people run the hot dog eating contest.
So everyone in cahoots there.
I think maybe there's some... Not foul play, but maybe there's some questions about who's allowed to enter or not.
Okay.
But Kobayashi no more. Now it's Chestnut.
So if I could eat this hamburger in under 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
I think that will send some good vibes out there, and hopefully the NCAA won't drop the hammer here and won't go through with this jackassery, ridiculous four-game suspension.
I agree. I think if you eat in 90 seconds, all four games should be wiped away, and if anything, the NCAA should be disbanded.
Man, eating a hamburger in 90 seconds kind of seems like a waste of a hamburger. Maybe I order two hamburgers. One to just quickly devour and the other one
really?
To enjoy. Nah, I'm going to be full, though, after that.
90 seconds. And, like, you probably won't enjoy it. So I don't know if I want to kind of almost bring back the bad memories of scarfing down a burger by the next break. Let me go eat another burger.
It seems like what Hickey's saying here is he said he was completely or pretty much sober when he had this hand injury that he suffered on his vacation swimming in the pool, which I don't buy. I think there was a lot of alcohol flowing. I think this triggered a thought where you had too much tequila over the weekend, and the next morning you smell some of that tequila and you want nothing to do with it. That's where it kind of sounded as if you were going down that road.
I wish, like, I think booze would have been a better excuse than sober late at night on a Saturday dislocating my finger. I think booze would have made the story less embarrassing.
Now, I noticed something today about you. You're wearing a hat, and it says, run the damn ball.
That's right.
I'm assuming you're taking the stance of the NFL running backs around the NFL.
Some of them. I think, again, some of them are, I don't want to say fairly, that feels a little too inhumane. But I do think, for the most part, running backs not getting paid is the right thing, although I think some NFL teams are freaking out about that. I do take a stand with most of them, including my guy, Jonathan Taylor. I stand in solidarity with JT. Pay JT.
Now, he has 1 year left on that deal?
Yes, this is the final year.
And you're wearing a run the damn ball hat. Is that something that the Colts kind of created? Is this a Colt?
Yes, it is. Quinn Nelson was one. There was a time when Frank Reich got a little too pass happy with Carson Wentz, and Quinn Nelson had sent a message. So he and a few offensive linemen wore a run the damn ball hat. I believe it was 2021.
Oh yeah, I remember that now.
So, yes. So that is where this hat comes from.
I don't think it's just coincidence. Hickey wears a run the damn ball hat, and we just got a notification about an hour ago that now Jonathan Taylor's going on the pup list. Hickey Hex, you support him. Now he's hurt on the pup list.
I don't think he's hurt.
You think it's contract related?
Yes.
A little back injury that's not really there?
I think all of a sudden that physical, he found a way to not pass the physical just conveniently around the same time he's looking for a contract. also conveniently around the same time that no running back is getting the contract they deserve.
I just have to ask the question, because gambling has been a little bit of a problem. Is this a cover-up from eventually finding out that we're about to get a Jonathan Taylor gambling suspension?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Okay. I don't think that's going to be the case.
He's very
I like Jonathan Taylor.
Straight edge down the middle.
It's one of the few Colts players that I like. Jonathan Taylor, and I like Quinton Nelson as well.
Great guy.
So Saquon Barkley agrees to this one-year deal with the Giants today. So it's basically the franchise tag with some incentives. It's supposed to be a little over $10 million. Now, the base salary is going to be $8.091 million, and he'll get $2 million in signing bonus up front. So that's the entirety of what the franchise tag was this year for him at $10.91 million total. And there's also going to be some incentives, $303,000 each if he gets 1,350 yards rushing plus a playoff berth, 65 receptions plus a playoff berth, 11 total touchdowns plus a playoff berth. Here's my quick thought on this. I don't get why Saquon Barkley signed this today. He has no leverage. Sure, it's him being a team guy and wanting to be there for the start of training camp and be there with his teammates. But if you're annoyed and you play the tough guy act all last week, you didn't really win anything today. I would have waited until a much later point in training camp, and I would imagine that this deal would still be available. Because here's the thing, Hickey. He could have a great season and reach three of those incentives, but then if the team regresses and doesn't make the playoffs, he reaches none of those incentives. When you look at Part A and then Part B, and Part B all being contingent that he makes the playoffs, this just once again shows you that Saquon Barkley knew he had no leverage. We already heard Nick Chubb say that after the Zoom meeting that he had, that the running back position is nothing really they could do. And Josh Jacobs is, I think, doing the smart thing, waiting. But if Josh Jacobs isn't there by week one, I don't see what he's going to accomplish other than missing out on the full 10, whatever, $10.091, I think it is, million dollars that he could fully earn this year. So I would have sat out training camp if I was Saquon, what it looks like Josh Jacobs is going to do, and I wouldn't have done this now, but he wanted to be a good team guy, so tough to fault him for that.